worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Come on, let's just worship you. Glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Lord, we just won't stop magnifying you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We glorify you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, Master. Father, we love you. Daddy, we love you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Abba. We glorify you. We glorify you, Abba. We worship you, Daddy God. We magnify you. We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we love you, Lord. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. Glorify the name of Jesus. Glorify the name of Jesus. Glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you, Lamb. We worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. Did you say Immokalee is in revival?
Immokalee is in revival.
The blind see.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The dumb speak.
The dead are raised.
The dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free.
Demoniacs are set free.
The maimed are made whole.
The maimed are made whole.
Families are put back together.
Families are put back together.
And I say thousands and thousands.
And I say thousands and thousands.
Are born again.
Are born again.
In this outpouring.
In this outpouring.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Father. We love you. We thank you that Immokalee is in revival. And we thank you, Lord, that we cannot fail. We cannot fail because you cannot fail. Lord, you are so faithful. Lord, your word is faithful. We're going to go to sleep tonight knowing that you will not change in the middle of the night. Lord, we're going to lay down and rest because we know that you, the one that has brought us this far, is going to take us all the way. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Minister, read there just a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm going to read some stuff that I took from, well, I'm going to read some prophecies that came, one prophecy that came out of the Tulsa conference, and then read some other stuff that that goes along with what I have to say tonight or what the Lord has to say that I had heard Gary read today. So, I think you'll enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. While I'm thinking about it, Pastor Dave will not be coming. So I hate to tell you that, but we are going on into revival. Praise the Lord. I'm sure he would love to come, but it's just not going to work out for him at this particular time. And if it does, Tim said that he's willing to change things ever at the last minute and send him down. And even if we didn't have anybody else here but us, Dave often comes just for us anyway. So we don't really advertise much about it. But be in prayer for him and his family and Rosalie. And we're just going to be here for a revival anyway, you know. Praise God. Jim Martin has encouraged me just to have a conference and do part of the speaking anyway. You know, not this time, but in the past. He said, you just need to call some special meetings. If you have stuff inside of you, just hallelujah. Praise God. I appreciate people coming in, but thank God for what we've learned through the Word of God. Amen. You know, this is a, you've heard me say before that there was a prophecy that came out of Tulsa, and I believe I know who gave it, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if we received it as a prophecy, it would be a prophecy, but from the Lord. But it was a prophecy said that this is the year for selling out. And I know that you've probably noticed that this has been, for one thing, we say it all the time, but bears repeating, where did this year go? Where did it go? And I believe now there's no way to prove this mathematically, because there's still 24 hours in a day and it's 7 days in a week and on and on and on. But time really is speeding up, and I know it in the spirit. And it's like something that is being drawn to an end, and the Lord is coming back. And it's like a centrifugal force that's drawing. It's like the woman that's vacuuming her carpet. That lint that's over there, the closer she gets to it, it starts speeding towards the vacuum. And we are speeding towards the vacuum. The vacuum is eternity, and we're going to be pulled into not a black hole, but an eternal light. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of different things that are happening. Persecution for righteousness' sake has stepped up dramatically. We don't really know it, because we're kind of like in a little bubble here. We're not in a big city, and I don't pay a lot of attention to the news, but some people brought to my attention this week some things that are happening in Houston. I don't know if you've heard about that, but the pastors are, now this might not be correct exactly, but I understand that there's some pastors that had their sermons subpoenaed by the mayor of the city or by the mayor's office. And again, this may not be exactly right, but it had something to do with their stand against a policy that was going in the Houston area that allowed for transgender bathroom facilities to be used. Didn't matter if you were male, you could go in and considered yourself to be transgender, you could go into the female, to the ladies' restroom and those kinds of things. Well, there was pastors that were preaching against that. Amen. And I'm all for them preaching against it, because I preach against it myself. Hallelujah. And so they've taken some persecution for righteousness' sake. And then I just had somebody text me right after that, and they didn't even know the other person was telling me that. There's a couple in Idaho, an elderly couple that's been married for 46 years, and they have a little beautiful little wedding chapel there, and they're Christians, and they teach Christianity, and anybody that comes in there to be married, they teach them about Christ, and they give them some CDs to take home, and they pray over them, and they give them scriptures and all kinds of, they try to just evangelize anybody that comes in there. And but they've made a stand and said, no, we're not going to marry homosexual couples. Well, the city now has, from my understanding, and again, I don't know if all this is absolutely correct. I did read the article, but according to the article, it seemed as if they were threatened. They've been threatened. At least the article conveyed that they were threatened by the city for to be jailed or to be fined several thousand dollars or whatever if they did not open it up to marry homosexual couples. Well, we're not trying to pick a fight, but the fact of the matter is, we will go to jail for our stand. we will go to jail for our stand, because the Word of God is the Word of God. And we love the homosexual, and we believe that God loves them, and that God wants to save them, and that He wants to deliver them from their homosexuality. They cannot stay a homosexual and be born again. You can't have both. But you can be born again. There's nothing that He can't forgive you for. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Amen. And the person that's teaching right now and saying these things is Homer Betancourt Jr. That's my name. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, this goes along with the thought of this year, even though it's getting close to an end, us selling out. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us. And I think if there's any profitable prophetic word for us in these last days, is that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to purge us and come to a place where He said here, compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, you'd have to read the whole chapter 11 to know what those witnesses were. And they were all the heroes of faith, all of the Old Testament heroes of faith. And it says we're compassed about by this great cloud of witnesses. That doesn't mean that they're in a, I don't know if people in heaven can, I do not believe they can see what's going on here. I know there's no scripture that would convey that. It's possible that the Lord gives some of your loved ones a good report. It's possible. You might be able to say, and I don't have scripture on that, but I could believe that those kind of good things happen. Like, you know, Lord, would you tell Mama that I'm really serving God good down here? And I don't think He's going to give any evil reports. If you're not doing good, He's probably not going to say anything. So there's no grandstand like we're watching football on Friday night and watching our number one quarterback there say, come on, man, you can do it, you can do it. That's not how heaven, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying that everybody that passed before us, they're waiting for us to do what we're supposed to do and receive the outpouring. And their witness while they were here is a testimony to us. It encompasses everything that we're trying to do, and it testifies to us to keep going and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. It says, because we've had these go before us and they've testified that God is faithful, He says, let us lay aside every weight, us New Testament Christians, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now the weight here is, it's really not a word sin. It means something that can bend you over. It means something that can occupy your time. It means something that really is not blatant sin. I mean, you can't find a scripture against it. But if you know the Holy Ghost is telling you that's taking away from your walk, the Word says to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it's a sin. So there are things that the Holy Spirit is going to really work with us on more so than we've ever had before as we get closer and closer. Now we know what sin is. Hopefully we know what sin is. But even here it's distinguishing between weights, things that will impede our running, things that will weight us down, things that will cause us eventually, it could eventually lead to sin. It could eventually lead to a lame kind of walk, a walk where we're impeded, we can't go further. But it says, let us lay these things aside, which so easily does beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now Jesus, he despised the shame. He did not want to hang there naked, but he did it for you and I, before all the world. Can you imagine? We don't want to imagine. He despised the shame, but listen, he went through all that for you and I. And he went through all that for you and I because he believed that in 2014, he could look down through the ages and say there would be a bunch of people sitting in a church in a small town saying, we want an outpouring. We want to see something take place. We want to see something that took place just like in the book of Acts. We want to see that kind of outpouring. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It says here, he said to them, you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Well, who was the first one? Who was the one? Who was the author and the finisher of our salvation? Jesus Christ. He resisted unto blood, but not just the blood of the cross. He began to resist sin so hard in the garden that he began to sweat great drops of blood. We in our daily walk, those of us that are on this walk, our resistance begins in our prayer closet. Our resistance begins in that place of intimacy with God when we're walking in and choosing on a daily basis to allow Him to begin to purge us. The purging process that we understand more than anything else around here is, of course, praying in tongues. Romans 8 talks about that. Talks about the Holy Spirit and how that He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, or we don't know what He's praying, but the more we give ourselves over to Him, He brings us into that place where what's he doing, Pastor? Well, He's allowing the tongues to burn up the chaff. He's allowing the tongues to take away the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And I thank God that He leads our understanding out of it, because I'd probably be so embarrassed if I knew what He was praying. I would not want to know sometimes what He's praying. But thank God He hides that from our understanding so that He can burn up the chaff, that He can begin to destroy the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. And how many are glad for that? Amen. Hallelujah. So it's the praying in tongues process that begins that and allows the Holy Spirit to work on us. Now, by the time he gets to Romans chapter 12, from 8 to 12, from 9, 10, and 11, he talks about Israel and a lot of different things. But by the time he gets to 12, the Holy Spirit says, rather than quote it, why don't you just hold your place there in Hebrews. You don't have to change. I'll just say it. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Well, really, if you go back, a lot of times we think, well, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice if I'm going into fasting. And fasting is important. It really is. It really is. I believe that. We teach a lot on fasting around here. But I can tell you what, the first place where you begin to present your body a living sacrifice is in your prayer language. And what he's referring back in chapter 12 is he's referring all the way back to chapter 8. 9, 10, and 11 are all like in a big parenthesis. You can keep them in your Bible, but they're all talking about a lot about Israel. But when he's talking about the purging process and he's talking about presenting your body a living sacrifice, he goes all the way back to chapter 8 in Romans 8 and talks about what the process of praying in tongues does for us. Hallelujah. Let me read a prophecy that came about at the prayer conference, and you just listen. This one says, remain at the feet of my teacher, and I will purge you. The enemy has come, and he scatters the unlearned the untaught, and he scatters them with the most childish things. My children are so concerned over things that are almost childish in my sight. What I desire is that you remain at the feet of the teacher. I will purge you. I will purge you. Trust me that I know what I am doing. Trust me that even you can change. Pride is thinking your stronghold is stronger than my spirit. Now, we use the word stronghold a lot around here, and the Holy Spirit's using it here. But in context to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where he says laying aside the sin and the weight, laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us, we can substitute strongholds in there. That's what he's talking about. He says, pride is thinking you are the worst of all, which really is saying your sin is more powerful than the blood of my son. Bow, yield to the teacher, for I am taking you far higher than you have walked before. This is the season of selling out. Flesh things this year are going upon the altar that my fire shall consume quicker than you ever dreamed possible. This is the year. This is the year. This following, and he says, this is the year. And then the Lord says, the following year is the year of power, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? How many would like to see 2015 burst out with power? Glory be to God. I'd like for the 2014 year of purging to be over. Man, I've seen purging this year. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author, and back into 12, looking the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. You've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son? He says, my son, this is the exhortation, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he does what? Receiveth. For if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if you be without chastening, whereof you are not partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, how does our Father do this? Well, the more we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us, and he begins to deal in conviction, and he begins to purge our conscience, and he begins to work with us. That's how that's how our Father begins to do these things for us. And because of it, he begins to wake us up. He begins to wake up our conscience more and more. You know, a couple of years ago, we did the series out of Ephesians on waking up, how that we're supposed, the Lord wants us to wake up. Well, as we begin to pray in the Spirit, this chastening comes. It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. But we allow the Holy Spirit to wake up our conscience. And that is the purging process. That's the chastening of the Lord. And he says, for verily, in verse 10, for a few days chastening us after their own pleasure, but he, that's our Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth joyous. How many have ever had the Lord chasten you over something, and while it's happening, you're thinking, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. It seems grievous, but nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hallelujah. How many of you want the peaceable fruit of righteousness in 2015? Like you just walk around and you're like, I got so much peace, I don't know what to do with it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's where we want to be going. Because of this, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. This is what we're doing in this process. This is what we're doing in this purging process, as we're saying, Lord, we're lifting up holy hands and saying, Lord, anything, any weight that could cause these legs that are supposed to be running into revival to be lame, Lord, let it be healed. And the Lord says, okay, well, what I'm going to have to do in that is I'm going to have to do some purging. I'm going to have to do some chastening. Hallelujah. The Word also talks about that we should be followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Can I read some stuff to you about one man that walked in revival and went through a purging process and where he was at? We have, for years, in a kidding way, and I think it's going to be totally fine to kid to some extent, but we would do things and just fun things or this, that, and the other. And Homer would say to me, well, Pastor, because of the way that you responded or I responded or somebody else, is it any wonder that we're not in revival? And we would laugh, you know, but it wouldn't be something that we really, really did wrong. But it would be something we'd say, well, that's why we're not in revival yet. But when we look around, we see, when we see the purging process and what God wants to, it's not that he's saying you're not good enough yet. It's just that he loves us so much that he wants us to endure the whole process. Because if we go into revival and there's part of us that can be exposed, it will be exposed. If there's part of us that's not purged, and we don't give it on this end, I want to do all my purging right now, okay? Because when the cameras come in, I don't want the cameras to be recording something that should not be being recorded. I want the purging process. Let's get it done right now and get it over with, Jesus. Hallelujah. But let me give you some things. This is from the Wigglesworth Standard. This is a man who walked in a revival status. Now, he's not, we're looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher. But this man walked in a place that I'd really like to walk, and I'm headed towards raising the dead and walking in those kinds of things. You can say amen to the parts that you can. There's a page numbered by each one of these. I won't give you the pages, but this come out of the Wigglesworth Standard. He would awaken at 4 a.m. to have communion, fellowship with the Lord. That's his standard. Oh, okay. I didn't even say that one. He never read any book but the Bible. The Bible was his sole source of knowledge and learning. Now this part, amazing enough, he never went half an hour without praying. That's staying in fellowship, isn't it? He constantly prayed in the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what, really? If you run into a guy like this, I've not run into anybody like this yet, but if you did, you'd say this guy's weird. But he's not weird. Guess who's weird? Guess who's probably out of balance? He would get caught up in worship, sometimes both dancing and singing in the Spirit. He read the Word at every meal and read and meditated upon it whenever he had a spare moment. Through the practice of daily doing all these things over a period of time, he learned to walk in virtually an unbroken fellowship with God. He never had a formal education. He was taught solely by the Holy Ghost's revelation. And this was a quote of his, "The filthy acts of the self-life have to be dealt with, and men cannot always stand the purging." When he said that, what he's talking about, when you go through the purging process, he said men can't always stand it. What he's talking about is, we talk about impasses around here. We talk about coming to a place where people fall out of prayer And if you come to a place of an ugliness, and if you don't continue, now the wonderful thing about ugly things, it doesn't have to be between anybody but you and God. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Now your wife or your husband may know about it because they have to live with you or your kids. But the purging process is between you and the Holy Spirit. But if you don't continue to go forward, what'll happen is, as he said, men cannot always stand the purging. What he's really saying there is they fall out of prayer. They just stop praying. Because you're going to do one or the other. You're either going to keep praying and eventually get past it, or you're going to stop praying. Hallelujah. And have you ever noticed that if you stop praying for a little bit of time and you think, well, I feel better now because I'm not even thinking about that problem. As soon as you go back and start praying in tongues again, guess what will happen? It'll pop right back up in front of you because he wants us free. Hallelujah. And then if the devil's there, if he's lying to you, the Holy Spirit will show that to you as well. He says the word was, or this was another thing, the word was continually in his hand, even in times of relaxation. He never considered himself fully dressed without a copy of the word of God in his pocket. Isn't that amazing? This is a man that really walked there. In fact, from what I understand, he had a standing bet that if he was dressed and you run into him, if he did not have the word on him, a small pocket testament or something on his person, he would give you $100. Anybody at any time, any place. He always had the word of God on him. Isn't that amazing? So vital did he consider the reading of the word that he insisted on reading a chapter at every meal. He considered the need for spiritual nourishment more important than the physical need for food. And then the verse is quoted in Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If he was with others at mealtime, he insisted on reading aloud a scripture passage. Then he would discuss it with them for a few minutes during the meal. Do you ever think about how much of what our conversations are usually? I mean, it's not that God doesn't want us to talk about families, and it's okay to talk about football, and it's all right to talk about fishing and this, that, and the other, or go into the... But do you realize that most of our whole time is consumed in all that? And if the amazing part is the more that we go into revival, the Holy Spirit is taking us into... He's renewing our minds. He's renewing our minds to think in a different way than we've ever thought before. Hallelujah. He considered the Word of God the most precious thing in all the world. He knew that he could only know and understand God by the Word, not by feelings or experiences. So he sought God continually in his Word. He had learned the secret of drawing away from everything to go and be with God, to shut up with God, and his Word was his continual habit. Thus, he did not just acquire knowledge, but came to know the living Word. Amen? He had a consuming love for the Word of God, an overwhelming confidence in God, in the God of the Word. He had often declared as he preached, the Bible is the Word of God, supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, he said. Write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Truly the Word of God changes a man until he becomes an epistle of God. It transforms his mind, changes his character, moves him from grace to grace, and makes him an inheritor of the very nature of God. God comes in, dwells in, walks in, talks through, sups with him who opens his being to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to read this Word like we never have. We need to stay in it as much as we possibly can. Not just pray in the Spirit, but stay. I encourage you to stay in the written Word of God. Hunger is the divine force of the walk of power, but the Word is its solid foundation, the rock on which the house is built, Jesus the Word. Brokenness occurs by setting a specific time each day of total, this is things that he would say, of total surrender, of seeking God to take over your thoughts, plans, dreams, visions, feelings, in short, everything. The fellowship of his sufferings. Smith did not understand this to mean the sufferings endured via persecution and rejection. He understood that the sufferings of Christ to be that which moved him into deep compassion when he saw the sick and the lost. You know, one of the things that I know that has told myself through the years where I'm walking a lot of times as far as in that place of really knowing, of intimacy, is that when I could see, when I go into places, public places, and I see people that are hurting, if I felt that, if I could feel that, if something inside of me said, that's an injustice, that can't stay like that, then I knew that I was moving towards his compassion. When we're able to just be around it and it has no effect on us, then there's something inside of us that needs to be changing. There's something inside of us that needs to be gravitating to that place of compassion. Remember, except that fellowship touch us, we shall never have much power. May God give us this morning such fellowship of his sufferings that when we see the person afflicted with cancer, we shall pray right through until the roots are struck dead. When we see the crooked and helpless woman or man so infirmed, God give us a compassion. God give us a fellowship with them that shall undo their heavy burdens and set them free. How often we have missed the victory because we don't have the Lord's compassion at the needed moment. We fail to go through with a broken heart. Conform to his death. This is something else. The Lord wants us to understand, he says, that we must come to a place where our natural life ceases by the power of God. We rise into a life where God rules, where God reigns. And he says, do you long to know him? Do you long to be found in him? If any man comes to me and does not hate, he continued to say these things, hate and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is one of the things that he said, a literal loathing, that is to hate our fleshly lives, our thoughts, our plans, our dreams, our walk, our works, and all our ways. We must know that all of our flesh leads to death. If we do not loathe it, we will lose it. Another thing he continued to say is how faith grows. Smith was repeatedly told how faith grows by quoting Mark 4:28, when he'd say, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He constantly answered to the question about obtaining faith. Great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs come only out of great trials. Every stumbling block must be a stepping stone, and every opposition must become an opportunity. Hallelujah. We're winning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Smith was totally consumed with pleasing Jesus and becoming like him. Filled with God, empty of self, and filled with God. This was one of the longings of his heart. But this feeling does not come easily, and the one who reaches out for it comes to know trials and hardships as companions. Smith stretched for it with a tenacity that would not allow any trial, hardship, or any other thing to stop his pursuit. After the death of his wife at 51, Smith said that to continue on without her was his greatest costly test of obedience. Almost 2 years later, after Polly's death, that's his wife, George, their youngest son, died. Smith said while preaching, it seems to me as if 1,000 road engines come over my life to break me up like a potter's vessel. There's no other way into a deep things of God but a broken spirit. If he was, he says, he, for he was a broken man, yet he would say, the best thing you can ever have is a great trial. Now, let me just clarify something about that right now for just a moment, just for teaching purposes and doctrine. God does not send trials to destroy you. The enemy comes. There's the only thing that that Christ will ask you to go through is persecution for righteousness' sake. He does not send death, disease, sickness, those kinds of things. And we appreciate, obviously, the testimony. I'm wanting to get to where this man's at. And I'm not sure everything he was meaning behind that. I just want to clarify that for you. Depression, those things are not of God. God doesn't send those things. God doesn't kill your family members to teach you a lesson. I love the way my pastor Dave has always said it. God does not need a trial to teach you anything. You can learn the same things in the prayer closet that a trial would teach you. I'd rather choose the prayer closet. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So how many of you are getting the idea, though, just to be sold out? Absolutely to be sold out. Hallelujah. And to keep the word of God. This song here, Filled with God, I remember one of our college professors, he would stand up and he would talk about the old days, and he'd just sing that song. And it'd come right out of his heart, and he'd begin to cry. And he'd just begin to say, filled with God, filled with God, empty of self and filled with God. Filled with God, yes, filled with God, pardoned and cleansed, and filled with God. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be filled with Him? More than anything else. Hallelujah. More than anything else. We're living in a time where the sin, and you know, when we look at men like this, we look at them and say, you know, was all their doctrine right? He'd visit Niagara Falls, and with tears streaming down as he watched, he'd cry out, Lord, I want to be just like that. I want to be like that. I want you to be like that in me, just totally no restraint, no restraint. I just want to be so filled with you, Lord. And as a result of it, there's a purging process that's taking place. And I don't know where we're going to be. I don't want to never be legalistic in the flesh. I don't want to do that. But I realize that there's things waking up in conviction as the more I pray in tongues. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I should be since I'm standing in the pulpit, right? But I'm watching Monday Night Football, and, you know, I'm just watching the football, and I'm not trying to watch the cheerleaders. I'm just watching the football. And so then a commercial comes on, and I'm like, I can't see that. So I change it to the next channel. Well, I can't see that. And then I change it to the next channel. And I can't see that. And I change it to the next channel. Oh, God, I sure can't change to watch that. And it's either perversion of some sort or witchcraft on the next one or sex on the next one. Or it's like, and I'm like, my God. My God. And then you're just like, you just really want to turn it off and walk away. Because you're trying to watch a football game and the commercial comes. Folks, we're living in a world that is, it's going downhill, and it's going downhill quick. The only way that we can stay in a place where we're going to be qualified for revival, keep praying in tongues. Keep your face in the Word of God. And so hallelujah. The world wants us, you know, and here's the deal is, if you're a Christian and you love the Lord, if you don't watch it, if you allow any of that stuff to creep in, it'll desensitize you after a while. You won't realize what you're allowing yourself to watch. After a while, you'll be just like, I didn't know that was, you know, that big of a problem. It is. It is if you allow yourself to begin to engage in those kinds of things. We're in a purging process. Why? Because we want to be filled with God. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to get us ready for revival. Hallelujah. How many of you still love me? How many of you love Jesus? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just let's all stand together. Hallelujah. It's hard. You may not be able to catch it to start with. It was pretty easy. Let's sing this together. Filled with God. Yes, filled with God. Empty of self and filled with God. Filled with God. Yes, filled with God. Pardoned and cleansed and filled with God. You did good. Filled with God. Yes, filled with God. Empty of self and filled with God. Filled with God. Yes, filled with God. Hardened and cleansed and filled with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for that blood. Hallelujah. You know, the beautiful part about it is the blood's always there for us. And it's just like that prophecy. If we think that we're the worst one, that's pride. If we think there's anything in our life that the Holy Spirit won't cleanse through the blood of Jesus or can't forgive us, that's pride. It's pride. And so let's just be so willing every day to take a washing, if necessary, in the blood of Jesus and keep going forward. Hallelujah. Father, we bless them tonight. We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus and for the blood that washes us every day. We thank you for your purging, cleansing, and washing power. Thank you for who you are and what you are in us. We thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves unto you, and we thank you for this, Lord, that you'll just speak to our hearts if there's anything that needs to change, that, Lord, that there'll be a change, it'll be working in us. And, Father, we just pray that there won't be anybody that goes out of here with condemnation tonight, but they'll be encouraged, Lord, just to know how much you love us. Lord, we're all in a changing process. And we just pray that, Lord, that you'll just continue to work that work inside of us. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless the offering. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you tonight. We love you. If you have something to give, please bring it down. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Amen.